Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the book. And Prabhupada translated as The Science of Devotional Service. Prabhupada was very keen to always emphasize that this bhakti bhajan, this bhakti yoga is a science. It's not a sentiment. What was that statement? Religion without philosophy is sentimentality. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So this is, we just want to generate Krishna and be happy. Yeah. It works also. But our happiness needs some definition. We need some direction to our happiness. We want to have more happiness. We want to enter the land of unlimited joy, Anandam Vrindavan. So we need some direction, some scientific guidance and direction how to get there. So we're talking now, he's mentioning here about this pratibimba. When a person with other desires, such as desires for material enjoyment or liberation, when he associates with an advanced devotee, a bhava bhakta, then a reflection of that bhava from that advanced devotee comes in his heart, pratibimba. Abhas, it's called rati abhas pratibimba. It's a semblance. It's not real rati, it's not real bhav. Then the question, Jiva says, will that reflection disappear when he leaves that devotee? It's like I was giving the analogy, you have the mirror, then you leave and it disappears. And the mirror example, it does disappear. But he says, no, by the impressions it leaves in his heart, that reflection of bhava remains there for some time. When the moon of bhava of the sky at the heart of a pure devotee is reflected on the heart of one who has ulterior desires, other than pure bhakti, when one associates with such a pure devotee, and because of one's imitation of the singing of the name of the Lord by such a pure devotee, the appearance, this is the importance of sadhusanga, the appearance of the semblance of rati, or bhava, in its reflected form is possible only because of the great fortune of a company of pure devotees, and by their blessings only, in spite of one's longing for enjoyments or moksha. So what this is, at this juncture it's saying, it's talking about devotees. It's us. We have desires, material desires. Otherwise we would be bhava bhaktas. We'd be premi bhaktas. We have material desires, and maybe we even have so many desires for salvation or getting the hell out of here or going back to Godhead or getting free from our problems or some kind of salvation type, liberation type motivations. But we associate with our Gurudev. It was very advanced devotees. And in that association, assuming they are on the level of bhava and prema, then that reflects on us because we also want to attain bhava. We have the desire to attain bhava, but it's mixed. Our bhakti is mixed, as I said, with these two salvation desires, material desires. So that their bhava reflects on our heart. And when they're chanting in kirtan, say they're chanting in kirtan or nam or speaking harikata, we feel some of the rays of that bhava come in our heart. Because they're in bhava. So when they sing, it's bhava bhajan and it's bhava prachar and it's like this. It's full of this, their feelings of love, pure love. So it comes in our heart. We feel joyful. We feel happy. We may even cry. That's why they see sometimes they exhibit some preliminary symptoms. They cry when they're associated with advanced hearing harikata and they're crying. And then they leave that association. Now they're not crying, their hair's not standing in end, they're not trembling, they're not feeling so much joy or happiness. And something stays there. Some residual, some remnant stay there in the heart of that devotee by that association. Now if they go away and don't come back and just stay by themselves and don't get a renewed, association with such a devotee, then gradually it disappears. It stays for some time. They say, well, that was such a wonderful class, and my guru is so wonderful, and I feel so wonderful, I'm doing bhakti. Then, bad association, they stay away from the guru, then, down again. So Mukunda Das Goswami, in his commentary, is saying that, therefore, it's so important to continually associate with sadhus. Because we associate with sadhus, then the moon of their heart reflects on our heart. And gradually, their emotions come in our heart, their mercy comes in our heart by repeated association. And then that association and that effect, that prabhava, that effect of that bhava removes the material desires, removes the desires for salvation, and then we actually attain bhava by that association. That's what happened to Narada Muni. Narada Muni was 4 months, 24 hours a day, associating with the Mahabhagavat. And as a result of that, he got bhava, because they gave mercy, they were happy with him. And he continually stayed there, heard Harikatha from them. And he asked them, he said, can I take your remnants? And he took their remnants. So that's what happens when you live with an advanced devotee day after day, naturally you take remnants. Every disciple, somehow he wants to get remnants of the guru. I remember in LA, Prabhupada would come there, and I was there in 75 and 76, and he came a few times, and first thing everybody wants to get is, they would go to especially the brahmachari, sankirtan devotees, they would go to his servants and say, we want to get Prabhupada's remnants. And how can we get it? And we have to do, if you do this seva for me and help to do this seva. I remember once he asked me, I forget who it was, I don't know, Shrutikirti, whoever it was. I was there, and in the morning, Mangalarti, he said, Prabhupada needs, he needs some tooth twigs, datun. He's using eucalyptus trees. Can you get some? So I said, I think there's a tree down the street in one park. So I went down there with some brahmacharis in the middle of Mangalarti, and we were trying to climb this tree to get these, twigs. Then a police came, and this big light, they have on the car, they have this light, goes, hey! And I was up in the tree, all doty, all this stuff, like funny. Hey, Hare Krishna! What are you doing up there? He said, get down from that tree! And I grabbed some twigs, some eucalyptus twigs, came down the tree, and he came out, what are you doing here? It's in the middle, the park is closed now, so you can't come here. And what are you doing anyway? And I just told him straight, I said, I'm getting some toothbrushes for my, I was holding these, I said, I'm getting some toothbrushes for my guru. I was a kid, I was 24, right? He said, what? He said, that's some twigs, you stupid Hare Krishna. He said, no, he uses these, for his teeth, like this. He's from India, it's like Indian toothbrush. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, all this garbage, just get out of here. Take your toothbrushes and go. So I went back and gave it to the servant like this. So, So then I said, look, I got these toothbrushes. Can I get some Prabhupada's remnants? And that's the whole idea. I went telling you about how to get. So he said, yeah, I'll give you something. So I went back later and he gave me some oranges and stuff that Prabhupada bit out of, for breakfast. I got like this on these sections of orange, and then I got those oranges also. There wasn't any juice in them, but there was mercy. Prabhupada's mercy was there or something. So like that, and every devotee, one way or the other, they want to get the prasadam. So Narada Muni, he got the mercy like that. So now let's go on this discussion a little more. This is text 49. Shudra kotuhalamayi chanchaladukaharani ratesh chaya bhavet kemchit tatsadarsh yavalambini. The splendorous type of semblance of bhava is now described. This is the shadow, chaya. That which has similarity to real bhava, which possesses a small amount of interest in Krishna, which is unstable, and which destroys suffering is called chaya rati abhas. A semblance of bhava, which is like a shadow. We say shadow, but here, Jiva Goswami says, the word chaya means beauty or splendor. So apparently, according to Sanskrit, chaya can have different meanings. And he quotes Amar Kosh dictionary saying that, as you may know, the sun planet Suryadev has two wives. One wife's name is Chaya, and one wife's name is Sangya. Sangya means all knowledge. And one is shadow. And he has three children. They have three children. I forget, I think Chaya and Suryadev produce Shani. The three children of the sun god are Saturn, Yamaraj, and Yamuna. Jamuna Devi. That's why, so now, Chaya can mean shadow, but in this case it means the wife of the sun, splendor, reflection, or shade. So here it also means the reflection of or resemblance to beauty. So this means that a person has interest in the Supreme Lord and Bhakti only as material objects. There is curiosity relating to the Lord. Even though material, there's a little appearance. In other words, some people are a little curious about Bhakti and they get interested, but they're actual, so they come around devotees, but they're not. The first case is more exact, that's why he's Pratibimba. He's actually a devotee, and he wants to have bhava, but he has some coverings, and he associates with an advanced devotee, then it reflects on his heart. And if he keeps staying there, that reflection becomes permanent, becomes real. Now this is someone that also, he has small amount of interest in the Lord, some interest. So he comes around, but actually his interest in other things are greater. And then it goes on to explain that. And because of its nature as a shadow, it's very unsteady. Now Prabhupada gives a nice reference. Prabhupada discusses all these things also in Nectar Devotion. I'll read that. Sometimes it is found that a person actually attached to material enjoyment or salvation has the good fortune to associate with pure devotees while they are engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. By the good grace of the Lord, one may also cooperate and join in the chanting. At that time, simply by the association of such pure devotees, the moon-like rays from their hearts reflect on that person. And by the influence of the pure devotees, that person may show some likeness of attachment caused by inquisitiveness. But this is very flickering. And if by the manifestation of such shadow attachment, one feels the disappearance of all material pangs, then it is called Chaya Ratiyavas. Such shadow attachment or para attachment can develop if one associates with pure devotees or visits places like Vrindavan or Mathura. And if an ordinary man develops such attachment for Krishna and fortunately performs bhakti in association of pure devotees, he can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. So that's the whole idea. Sometimes people come to Vrindavan, they meet the devotee in Delhi and they have a backpack and they say, where are you going? I'm going to Agra. I'm just touring here and there in India, Benares, Haridwar, Himalayas. Oh, you should visit Vrindavan. And they have no pre-contact with Vrindavan or devotional idea. They come to Vrindavan and someone says, oh, I'll take you to the temples and here and there. And they say, oh, it's such a nice place. And they even start crying. We've seen so-called karmis like that. They say, it was so nice, it's so sweet. And they start crying. They actually experience some semblance of bhava by visiting this land. This is Prem Dham Vrindavan. So they experience something just by coming here. But of course it won't last, it's only a shadow due to the, you know, being here in Vrindavan or being with those pure devotees. It's like a curiosity, material curiosity. Then he goes on in text 50, he goes on to explain, Hari Priya Kriya Kala Desha Patradi Sangamat Apyano Sangi Kad Esha Kvachit Agesh Vapikshate. Kintu bhagya vina naso bhavacha yap yudanchati yad yabyudatyata shemam tachasyat utarottamam. This chaya ratiyabhas appears sometimes even in ignorant people by a combination of performing actions dear to the Lord, observing the festivals of the Lord, residing in the Dhamma of the Lord, and associating with devotees of the Lord. Even this Chaya Ratiyabhas, which eventually bestows auspiciousness to those people, appears only with good fortune. Obviously, it's so many people come to India, but how many people end up visiting Vrindavan? Or so many people walk down the street, but how many people stop to join the kirtan party? Very few. You live in a country of 20 million and one or two, they say, oh, this is nice, let's dance with these guys. Hare Krishna. So they get some reflection. Hari Priya Kriya Sangamat. Sangamat means simultaneously association of all the factors at once done by an undeserving person who somehow hears and chants about the Supreme Lord in association with a pure devotee while observing Janmasthami Mathura while on a yatra to the holy Dham. So this agya means an ignorant or undeserving person. Why is he undeserving or why is he considered ignorant? Because he wants sense enjoyment and liberation. So somehow someone's in Delhi, for example, and he's a Krishna Bhakta, and he's going to Vrindavan for a yatra, Braj yatra. And he has a friend who's totally a materialist. He's a sense enjoyer. He says, come on, you know, Ramesh Baba is going on Braj yatra. He's my guru. Come with me. I'll take you there for 2 days. No, I don't want to go. I want to go disco movies, this, that, you know. No, no, you come. Come on, you get in the car. So he doesn't want to come and he drags him. Then he comes on the yatra and he meets Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj, and he travels with him and hears the Harikata. And then the friend says, come on, dance, you know, Radhe Krishna, dance. He dances and he chants. And then this can happen to him. He can get this reflection, this shadow of Bhav can come. There should be simultaneous participation in the items listed, performing actions dear to the Lord. In other words, he's unknowingly, that's why he says agya, he's undeserving and he's ignorant, but somehow agata sukriti, he's performing these actions. He's come to Janmashtami. He's come to the temple on Janmashtami. So he's observing Janmashtami. He's visiting the temple and he's chanting in the temple. And Krishna's pleased by the chanting. He's taking prasadam. He's doing all these things simultaneously. Residing in the Dham, associating with devotees. Then, if all these things are together, Chayavrati Abbas may manifest in ignorant people. So then, and then the symptoms are that there's crying. You see, that's why I said people cry. They show some symptoms of bhava. Crying, etc. And then, so you may attain that. And then when one, say a sadhaka, he lives. Say you live day and night with a very advanced devotee and you're serving them and you're sincere about being a devotee, then you can have this Bhava Bas, this reflection or semblance of Bhav can be reflected in your heart. And you may, when in association with that advanced devotee, you may cry, your voice may choke up, some symptoms of Bhav, and you really feel like, wow, I've really gotten somewhere. You're still a sadhaka, you haven't attained Bhava Bhakti, but there's a reflection, or the chaya, there's some semblance, abhas, called rati abhas, like bhakti abhas. We say Vaishnava praya, almost a Vaishnava. So now, that can disappear. You can have that experience. And then he says how it disappears. Hari priya janas yeva prasada bhara labhata. Bhavabhaso si pisahasa bhavatam upagachati tasmin eva paradena. Bhavabhaso yanuttama. Kramena shayam apnoti kasta purna shasiyata. By the great mercy of a dear devotee of the Lord, Hari Priyajana, the exceptional grace of a dear devotee of Krishna, or the immense mercy, the semblance of Bhava suddenly becomes real Bhav. That's what happens. We associate with advanced devotees day after day after day. Then this Chaya, or this Pratibhimba comes, is a semblance, and if you stay there, then it can become real Bhav, because you get Bhava by the mercy of devotees. So by offending that devotee, so he says here, by the great mercy of a dear devotee of the Lord, Ratiyabhas suddenly becomes real Bhav. However, by offending that devotee, even the best Bhava Bhas gradually wanes, just as the full moon wanes in the sky. So what is this saying? And Jiva Goswami comments. He said, if someone is associating with advanced devotee, he's hearing from them, he's chanting with them, he's taking prasadam, he's living in a holy dham, he's going on this Braj Yatra, and he wants to be a devotee, and he's trying to practice. Or even if he's not doing anything, a reflection of Bhav can come in him. And if he stays with the devotee, that reflection will become the real thing. But generally what happens is at some point in time, he becomes offensive. Because they say familiarity breeds contempt. He sees something the devotee does or acts and he, oh, what's this? And, oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden that moon of that devotee's heart, that Bhava Bhakti's heart was reflecting on you and you were hearing with him and chanting him with the holy Dham, all those things together. And then you were getting, actually, Bhav was coming inside. You were feeling wonderful. And then all of a sudden you made offense. And instead, as the moon wanes in the sky, the moon is full. Then it comes half moon and quarter moon. And then Amavasya finishes. And then it says, the next verse goes on. So we can Bhava can be invoked by association with pure, in other words, Bhava can be invoked by association of pure devotees, and it can be extinguished by offending them. Bhavopi yabhavam ayati krishna prishta purarata abhasatam shashanakar niyuna jatiyayatam api. Rupa goes on to say, by grave offense against the dearest devotee of the Lord, Krishna Prishta Aparad, even real Bhava will be destroyed. Even one is a Bhava Bhakta, if he offends another Bhava Bhakta or Premi Bhakta, there's different categories of offense. If it's a grave offense, if the offense is medium, the Bhava will turn to Bhava Bhas. If the offense is slight, that Bhava will become an inferior type. In other words, medium Bhava degenerates into a Bhas or Chaya in the heart. And what happens is, when it turns into the inferior type, means Chaya, then the heart becomes filled with desires for material and four kinds of mukti. In other words, when he offends a devotee, a slight offense, then he loses that Bhava. And it becomes like chaya, like an abbas, like a reflection of Bhav, because of his offense. And then another reaction of that offense is not only slipping from that actual platform of Bhav, which one received by the mercy of the devotee, but then he starts to think about, oh, I think I'd rather go for liberation. Not material desires, but he's spiritually situated, but he wants some material promotion. By two types of grave offenses, offense to the dearest devotee or to Krishna himself, even real Bhava is destroyed, Jiva Goswami says. By medium offense, Bhava degenerates into abhas or chaya, and the heart fills with desires for four kinds of mukti. It becomes Bhava Bhas. A slight offense, he's repeating the same thing. Here's an example. A devotee, let's say, the slight offense means a devotee, a Bhava Bhakta transforms into a lower type of Rati. It's very interesting. Example, Madhura Rati can become Vatsalya Rati, Vatsalya and the Sakya, Sakya and Dasya and Shanta. Those at the level of Bhava will still have impurities and could make mistakes because of anarthas, whereas those at the level of Prema are pure and can never commit real offense. So these are kind of like topics that are, in other words, I guess the conclusion of it all is, from our level, is we're pretty much a long way from Bhav. And then he gets into explaining about how Bhav improves from Bhava Bhas to real Bhav. That's the next positive section. This is a little negative warning. The basic idea is devotees have a lot of power. And it's very difficult to judge who's an advanced devotee and who isn't, because no one wears a tag around their neck. No one wears a tag around there, I'm an advanced devotee. There are nine outward Sarup Lakshana. The Sarup Lakshana, nine outward symptoms of Bhava are there, so we can live with someone and measure these to some extent. But ultimately it's difficult. And he's warning us, he said, be careful that offenses are so dangerous that any type of offense, slight, medium, or grave, can have its reaction. And we can even be a Bhava Bhakta and lose it. Now, sometimes there's some confusion here. It should be clarified. We have in Nectar of Instruction, it says, mad elephant offense. Was it Matahati or something? Matahati? It says mad elephant offense. It says there, Prabhupada writes, if someone offends a pure devotee, it destroys his bhakti creeper. It says like this. It says like that. Like if you have a garden with some creepers or lattes growing there, an elephant comes in, steps all over, and they're destroyed. So that analogy is given there. Oh, if you make an offense to a pure devotee, it can destroy your bhakti. It's not exactly like that. It is and it isn't. What is said more specifically is that it's possible that your bhakti and bhakti neha bikramo nashasi pratyavayona vidyate swapam apisa dharmasya chayato mahatobayat. Krishna says in Gita that whatever bhakti or devotion we do is never destroyed. It's eternally registered in your chitta. In your chitta, it's recorded as bhakti sanskaras. There's bhog sanskara and bhakti sanskaras. All the chanting, seva, everything we did under Guru's shelter as Diksha disciples is a permanent asset of the jiva, a permanent treasury that's registered and recorded in the chitta. However, in this very life, the reaction is matahati fence. We can destroy our standing, our devotional standing in this life. We may, as a reaction to this offense to a pure devotee, we may become, our bhog samskaras will manifest, all the vasanas and desires we have, and we'll be engaged in material activity, sense gratification. Or we may even look towards liberation, or even Brahma Sayuja, leave the path of pure bhakti and prem seva, and become interested in Brahman realization, or Buddhism, or some other perverted religious doctrine. What to speak of gross animal sense gratification? And we often see that happens, that some devotees, they were very close to Srila Prabhupada, and they were serving him very nicely, but they made serious offense. Then, since the last 20, 30 years, they've been deeply absorbed in sense gratification. So it appears that they're not doing any type of bhakti. It's not visible, any type of bhakti is going on. No sadhana bhakti, no anything. It's stopped. In this life, it looks like it's stopped. They look like karmis. And they are. So it's a fact. So you make a mad elephant offense, you offend the pure devotee, your bhakti is stopped. Boom. It can stop for your whole life. You can pass your whole life in reaction. Absorb the material activities. It may not come back. But some devotees merciful, Guru's merciful, or he goes and devotees, they can bring you back and you can hear their preaching somehow, or maybe not. Now here's the catch. But you have the bhakti sanskaras. You did so much seva, so much chanting, so many years, 10 years, 1 year, whatever. Now when you take your next birth, Suchinam Srimatam Gehi Yoga Brashtya Vijayate, Krishna says in Gita. The next birth, because of all your bhakti sanskaras in your treasury, because you suffered in this life, being absorbed in a life of sense gratification and pursuing Buddhism or Brahmavadi, that's suffering for the pure jiva. And so that's like your reaction for your mad elephant offense. Then next life, you start off with a clean slate with your bhakti sanskaras. That's why Prabhupada said, if you become 20% Krishna conscious in this life and you die, what happens? Where do you start next life? From 20%. So maybe you've got 20% and then you made a mad elephant offense. So now you don't get any more percentage. This whole life is spoiled in sense gratification. But you don't lose, see, it's clear you don't lose everything. You don't start with zero next life, you follow? This is a clear point.